This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have to do this thing now. It's completely crazy. It's crazy beyond your wildest nightmares, but it's happening.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kim Jong-un, the hereditary spoiled brat demon chipmunk, because Kim Jong-un over the weekend said, I've got a red button on my desk. I may preemptively destroy you. I may destroy all of America. I may decide to kill you. These were quotes. And so Trump said, you know, we've got a big red button, and it works. Now, the media went into conniption fits, and Trump's sexual obsessions may destroy the Earth. They're the ones saying, hey, we got a bigger nuclear button than you. We got a bigger arsenal, more powerful, and it works. Nothing to do with the media trying to say the president has small genitals. And by the way, he doesn't even have small hands. And by the way, that's a cliche, and the wives tell it not even true as well. Medical doctors will say it's the feet size. But the point is that it's more comparable.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And it's getting late, so good luck.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You shut your drunk mouth.
There is no excuse for this alleged behavior.
Don't bogart that joint.
What about an emotional support squirrel?
Just pass it around.
Now that's a champion.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Lick it?
Or just pass it on down.
And now,
we're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
Our feature presentation.
You know what I have noticed, though, is that we're not on really any businesses on hold. If you call any business in Southern California, it's not us.
No?
Really ever.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've just been noticing the last, 6 months or so, every time you call an office, they put you on hold, and then you hear the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's classic rock.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's jazz, smooth jazz.
Right.
It's not really ever K-rock.
Okay.
Yeah. So get with it, people. Come on now. Get with it. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. It's the 5th of January.
How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Good. Any big plans for the weekend?
I might go to the Rams game.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
What time's that? 5?
5:15 on Saturday.
Now, there was some talk of you attending with the king?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten back to me, which I'm like, wow, it's like we're dating. So I don't know, because I know he wanted to watch the Clippers before, and that was cutting into what I think needs to be at least a 5-hour tailgate.
Yeah, I mean, Allie was planning on getting there at noon.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
And Dave's talking about seeing an NBA game.
He's like, I don't know. We can get there around 3:30 or 4.
Right.
Screw you.
Has he ever been to an NFL game?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
So it would be a Rams fan sitting next to a Falcons fan then.
Well, I would be quietly rooting for the Falcons quarterback because he went to my college, Matty Ice.
Okay, so you want him to have a good game.
So yeah, I just want to see
for one person.
Yes, okay. Which means not that team. I would root for the Rams, obviously. But if Maddie did something good, I'd be like,
Just real quiet, so no one can hear.
Oh, okay. Real quiet.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of cheering that helps the players the most.
They love it. They love it. Really gets them going.
That silent note that you just say, oh, that's pretty good. That was a good pass, man.
Well, I hope you get to go to that. That would be super fun.
Me
and I
too.
Bet there will be an incredible playoff atmosphere.
Absolutely.
For the Rams at
that
and game.
Perfect weather for a football game.
Right?
73
yeah.
degrees, just dipping into the 60s. Let's
yeah.
do this, Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a good deal right there. Hey, we've talked to listeners in the past who have crazy, hellish, long commutes. you got to buy where you can afford or rent where you can afford. And sometimes that means you're living in Acton and driving down to the Valley or something like that. Or you're living in San Bernardino and you work in downtown L.A. People do it all the time.
Yep.
This one may take the cake, though. When I saw this article in a San Francisco newspaper, his name is Tom Foulkes. He is a nurse. He lives in Pennsylvania. He works for Kaiser, by the way. He's a pediatric nurse. He lives in Pennsylvania. He works in Oakland.
I'm sorry. Oakland, yes. Pennsylvania?
Oakland, California.
He lives, again,
in Pennsylvania.
No.
And he commutes to work in Oakland.
Does he fly every Monday and fly back every Friday?
Something like that, yes. He began his biweekly work trip to work 9 years ago, and he says it changed his life. He has a schedule where he works 36 hours a week, where he works on Monday and Tuesday for 12 hours each day, mm-hmm. and then every other weekend he works 12-hour shifts as well. However it works out, it turns out to be 36 hours in a week. And he flies back and forth across the country, so twice out, twice back, four times across the country, and still makes so much more money than he could ever make in Pennsylvania.
Why?
That he says he wouldn't do it any other way.
Why can't he make the same amount of money in Pennsylvania?
Well, because there's no nursing job makes as much as you do in California, particularly in the Bay Area. It's the highest paid in the country.
I didn't know that.
Come on. You should know that. Your mom's a nurse.
I didn't know
that. My mom's a nurse. I get nursing quarterly.
He says that about 10% of the people that work there at Kaiser that are also nurses at Kaiser commute in from other cities. Now, I'm sure nobody else is coming from as far away as that person is, but there probably are people driving in from Reno and places like that. I can't imagine a schedule like that. Of course, our little friend Carson Daly used to fly back and forth every week, remember? Between the Voice and the Amp job.
Yeah, but it sort of kills you slowly. I mean, it sort of, you get more and more tired, and then it just seems to drive the life out of you.
Yeah, I wonder how you weigh that. How you weigh that paycheck versus your life, essentially.
Well, he says that, let me see if I can find this part. He says that I can't find it, but he talks about how he is able to provide for his family. He just put in a $160,000 swimming pool.
Whoa,
he said in a million years he never could have afforded that. And he just loves living in Now, I'm trying to figure out why. I get the California part, mm-hmm. but why the Pennsylvania part? Maybe it's some sort of, it doesn't say it in the article, but I'm wondering if that's where he's from or that's where his family and relatives are.
Yeah.
Because it seems like there are cheaper places that you could live closer than Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like he could live in Colorado.
Maybe he inherited a place so he doesn't have to pay for it. So that would make the finances go much easier all the way around.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe
I need a deeper dive on this guy. Something's not adding up.
I'm trying to figure it out, too. It does seem insane. He's been doing it for 9 years, you guys. He says, I can't believe it's been 9 years. It seems like four or five. It changed my life. I spend lots more time with my son, and when I'm home, I don't work. We can do things because I have money now. When I was a nurse here in Pennsylvania, I had to have two other jobs just to keep up.
Wow.
I mean, so who likes Pennsylvania that much?
He's making so much money that he commutes 2,600 miles to work. So when you're driving in your 2.5-hour commute this morning, at least you're not doing what this dude's doing.
That's insanity.
Yeah, he's got a $160,000 pool.
Yeah.
Are pools that much? What's happening with this man?
Sounds like an awesome pool.
I think he's getting screwed in every other situation that he's like, no, I'm making a ton there because this pool cost me $160,000. What's happening? Bean,
I wish I did.
Why'd you bring me the story?
I'm sorry. We need more information.
Yeah, we do. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
Sounds hot. Sign me up.
You can win about $1 billion this weekend with the lottery.
Yeah.
So there's that. We're going to tell you how to win. We have an ironclad way to win. Is that what
we're
saying?
Have we figured out the odds?
No.
I think we figured out the odds perfectly.
No, we're not doing that.
I feel like we figured it out
pretty
well.
Please tell me we're not doing that.
We had this conversation before, which is what Allie's referring to. And
God.
People were calling in and telling us the odds of buying a second lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Well, you double your chances.
I don't think that was the answer.
That's what most people were calling and yelling at us about. They were calling and they were angry beyond words because we didn't understand the math. That if you buy a second lottery ticket, your chances double. And I think that's 100% wrong.
Okay, so let's just leave it at that.
No, I think we need to figure it out because there's two different lotteries going on, both of them worth about $450 million.
Yeah, we need our strategy in place before we go buy our tickets, Allie. Come on.
Come on.
I can't.
We're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas with a preview of the NFL Wild Card Weekend. We have Clark Gregg in studio. Very excited about that.
I saw him tweeting you last night telling you to go to bed.
Agent Coulson, yeah. I tweeted him and I said, I'm going to need a few answers before this season comes back. Because if you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and if you were to listen to me to describe it, you would think I'm crazy.
Right.
You may think that already, but I'm saying to describe the show that happens 70 years in the future and Earth has already been blown up. It's
but
crazy.
But they're up in space for this season.
Yes.
Okay.
And Earth has been obliterated.
Right.
And so then they, and then a guy goes back in time and then he has to go forward in time. And it's, it could be a little confusing.
Yeah. More than the lottery odds.
So I was watching and I was rewinding and then Clark goes, go to bed. You have to get up early. So I said, okay, fine. It's weird to have Agent Coulson tell you to go to bed.
It is, but comforting.
Kazzie, Omar's wife, we're going to talk to you today. Very excited about this because we were going to do it yesterday, but we didn't have time. But we told Omar, we told him, many times we told him, listen, don't get that for your wife for Christmas. That's a bad gift. He, of course, doesn't listen to us, which is most likely the best way to go. But in this particular case, we were right. And his wife didn't enjoy his Christmas gift quite as much as he thought.
Oh.
What a surprise. I'd like to talk to 911 operators today. Either you are a current 911 operator or you are that was your job in the past. Because it seems like two, three times a week there's a call about somebody or a story about somebody who called 911 for because they didn't get enough nuggets or whatever.
Yeah, I think the last one was clams.
Clams.
Yeah.
My clam. I'm not getting enough clams. Can you send it out an officer?
I think that's just the phone number they know.
Right.
That's why they call. They know they can get the police if they call that number, and they're not going to bother looking for a non-emergency number.
So about 8 o'clock, we're going to take calls from them. And, then of course, it's Friday, so it's Keep It 100. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ready for the first What's Happening for a Friday?
Not when you do that.
I mean, not Friday. Not on my watch.
Really?
No.
I thought that made everybody feel good.
Nope. You say that every Friday when you say Friday, but it doesn't.
I'm always surprised it's not universally loved.
It's not.
But I feel like the first time he said it, we all hated it. But then the following week, it started trending on Twitter. It was just bizarre timing. All of a sudden, everyone was saying Friday. I'm not saying Bean did it, but something weird happened.
If you did it.
But then when Old Navy started doing Friday in their commercials.
That's when you stop.
Right? That's when you know it's time to stop using it.
Overexposed. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I see that Friday feeling is trending today, Allie. What's that about? Where's Friday feeling from? Do we know?
I don't know.
I think it's the same type of thing as TBT. It's the same. It's just a theme for the day.
Okay.
By the way, is it also Sunday then?
Oh, great question.
No, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Because nobody's really excited about Sunday like they are about Friday. I think that's why Friday works, is because
doesn't work, first of all.
How dare you? All right, let's find out what's going on. Here's Allie with what's happening.
There we go.
You were right for a second, but then you were wrong. Hey, just a quick reminder, both weekends of the Coachella Music Festival are on sale today at noon.
Yay!
Yes. And, of course, that's the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. That's the first weekend, April 13th, 14th, 15th, and the second weekend, April 20th through the 22nd. Just a refresher for you, Friday, headliner the weekend, followed by different bands.
Good.
The weekend.
It's not just one band?
Nope, okay. Not just him headlining all day. Just the same set. How boring. but the Bleachers, the Neighborhood, War on Drugs, St. Vincent, Greta Van Fleet, and more. Saturday, Beyonce, Alt-J, Haim, Fleet Foxes, lots of great bands. Sunday, Eminem, Portugal the Man, A Perfect Circle, Vance Joy, good, good stuff. So you have until noon today to get your grubby little mitts.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you have to get them before you go.
Yeah, you don't come down here anyway, right?
Yeah.
You buy them.
It's Ticketmaster at noon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there...
Ticketmaster.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
No one's here, unfortunately. Sorry.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Yes,
yes,
I checked. Definitely rooms at the Marriott. You'd have to ask Stryker. That's his spot.
Right?
He loves that spot.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Not playing.
No.
Sorry.
But I'd love for him to introduce the Chili Peppers.
That would be great.
Anyway.
And then just have somebody on other band come out.
It's Greta Van Fleet.
It's Beyonce.
That would be amazing.
That would be great.
Oh, so good.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I bet if you just MapQuested it, you could figure it out. We good? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. We weren't real helpful to him, but... I hope he gets tickets.
It's Ticketmaster at noon.
Yeah, it's just, that's
pretty much it. Yeah.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
When are the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it depends on if you want to see smaller bands. The headliners are obviously at night. A lot of people are pretty hungover during the day. They do a little pool time. But
a lot of those smaller bands are pretty
amazing,
good,
amazing, yeah. And you should definitely map it out and go check the smaller bands.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Oh, I know. I know.
Okay.
Okay. Now?
Now.
All right. You know that you are known for something when your phone starts going off the hook with text messages. Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news?
Did that happen to you?
Happened to me yesterday. And that news...
Something happened to Swampy?
Funny you should mention him. He's Clark Gregg's friend.
Oh, no.
This is what happened yesterday. Tapings of Jeopardy are going to be suspended while the show's host of 33 years, the legend himself, Alex Trebek, recovers from brain surgery. He put out a video last night kind of explaining what went down to calm everyone's nerves, and I think he meant me.
Some of you may have heard by now that during the holiday break, I had a slight medical problem. Subdural hematoma, blood clots on the brain caused by a fall I endured about 2 months ago. Surgery was performed. After 2 days in the hospital, I came home to start recovery. The prognosis is excellent, and I expect to be back in the studio taping more Jeopardy programs very, very soon. And I want to thank all of you for your concern.
He called that a slight medical problem.
Brain surgery.
Right. Isn't that a broken pinky, a slight medical problem?
You would think it wouldn't really be a slight medical problem.
Right.
But, yeah, apparently he had a fall in October, and then things weren't going great. Went, and it was...
Wow.
Yeah. But blood clots from his brain.
I would have been more comfortable had he delivered that news in the form of a question. What is a subdermal hematoma?
Oh, I'm very concerned for him. But he was on a couch and wearing a little Jeopardy hat. Oh, I love him so much.
I have a dumb question for you, Allie.
Oh, I hope it's medical.
It's not.
Oh.
Do they, I don't believe they ever have a fill-in host for Jeopardy, right?
Gosh, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen one.
So when Alex hangs it up.
Oh, they knew, yeah.
It's going to be a casting call, a brand new person to the audience.
Absolutely. But don't say hangs it up. He's done it 33 years. He's a young, spry 77.
But what I'm saying is when Johnny Carson used to be on TV, Jay Leno was his host, so it was kind of expected that Jay Leno would then take over when Carson left. But there's no heir apparent for Alex. I mean, he's just the man, and there's no one else.
I assume they could find somebody relatively easy for that show.
Yeah, but nobody that's kind of done it. At least one or two times.
Of course not, but...
So what you're saying, Bean, is he should start working people in.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to do it forever, but it's... I don't know. It just occurred to me that he's just one of those guys who, if he's not there, the show's not on.
Yeah.
Right. So you're saying, like, Carrot Top should be there. Hosting Jeopardy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. But apparently, Sony Pictures Entertainment says they're going to resume tapings mid-January. So he's just relaxing at home for a little bit, but he will be back. And thank God, because I love him so.
You do.
I really do.
Maybe too much.
A little bit too much. He might be concerned that I frame pictures of him in my home.
Mm-hmm.
These stars born today, January the 5th. January Jones, Marilyn Manson, Bradley Cooper, Diane Keaton, Robert Duvall, and according to someone I used to work with that said this on the air during the news station, DJ Deadmau5. Oh, sweet spirit.
Did you
I'm
say
Ellen
that?
McKay. Oh, I just went, oh, where am I? Dead Mouse 5. I'm Ellie McKay, and that's your What's Happening.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. K-R-O-Q.
All right, just as a refresher course, Bean, if you win the lottery, either one, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Powerball or Mega Millions.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Both worth about $450 million.
Powerball's over $550 now.
Okay, so you win that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then on Monday... Mm-hmm. You send us all an email and you say, hey, everybody, it's been great.
No.
I won the lottery.
Mm-mm. No.
And
no.
Peace out.
No, no, no email. You'll never hear. Listen to me. You'll never hear from me again.
Okay, so we come in on Monday mm-hmm. and we try to talk.
Hey, mm-hmm. where's Bean?
And you're just not there.
Nothing. I'm just not there. Okay. I'm a ghost.
Okay.
You don't never. Even rub it in our faces that you nope. won.
Don't need to. Don't need any of you. Don't have to put up with any of it. God.
All right.
I'd like to think that we're a source of joy for you, Bean.
Little bit,
is that what
yeah.
you'd like to think?
That's what I'd like to think, yes. I will tell you, though, that I have never seen a report like the report that was on TV in Washington, D.C. a couple of nights ago for the last Powerball drawing. And there was, once again, no winner, so that's why we're up to the crazy 550 number now. His name is Brody Logan, which, by the way,
yeah.
no one named Brody is a good dude, right?
It's rare.
It's very yeah. rare, yeah. That's just a dick name, I'm sorry. But he is at a convenience store, and I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if this is the way he always is or if he was ticked off about getting this assignment that he had to go out and interview people buying lottery tickets because...
He's probably had to do it many times mm-hmm. before and it
probably
always sucks.
So. What a waste of time those stories are on the news where they interview people who are buying lottery tickets. Oh, what are you going to do if you win? I mean, how many times have we seen that?
And every
the person,
big lottery.
And by the way, the person almost never has an answer. Almost
right, of course
never.
Not. Well, he took a different approach.
See, Jim, here's the thing. None of these people are going to win. I'm not going to win. You're not going to win. We all know it. We all know it. Now, let me ask you, man. Relax.
I mean, really, at that point, don't you go, okay, thanks for the report. Let's move on.
I mean, way to just poop on the dreams of these people who are just in there scraping a couple of dollars together to try to make it a better life for their family, right?
Or however that's said.
Right.
Because Rolanda's going to win. That's why. Okay, so you're getting a couple Powerballs here.
Yeah.
Why? Why? In spite of the hundreds of millions of odds, why are you doing it?
Why not? I just want to win. I want to quit my job if I can.
Okay, that's a good reason. So you would quit your job. You know, some people say they would still do their work.
400 million, I quit.
400 million, she would quit. We got someone else over here. How many are you getting, you think, in here?
Five tickets.
Five tickets?
Yeah.
It's about $10 worth?
Yeah.
So let me see. How much for a lighter over there?
All right, what do you think he's doing here?
He's going to light $10 on fire.
He is
how much
not.
Are lighters? Yeah, okay. So what you could do is buy a lighter,
yep.
burn the rest of the $10,
yep.
and then at least you still have a lighter.
There you
I
go.
Mean, oh my
there you go.
This is awfully aggressive to be doing to just a nice lady
aggressive.
Who's in a store, right?
That poor lady just wants to get a lottery ticket and move on with her day. She doesn't want to have her dreams demolished by this guy.
And by the way, he's also, look, everyone who's buying a lottery ticket knows the odds are long, okay? He's just banging that point, right. rubbing it into their faces. He's doing everything but saying, you are an idiot for buying this ticket.
And we haven't heard the end of the report yet, so maybe he does get to the idiot.
He may get to that. And by the way, the answer to the odds are terrible is that people win sometimes. That's the answer. Everyone who's ever won one of these hundreds of millions of dollars of lotteries had those same crappy odds, but they still won.
But your odds right? are doubled if you buy two tickets,
again,
right?
Don't even start.
With that,
here's
stop.
The question, though. Are the what? Odds double if you buy two tickets?
I think yes, but apparently
no.
I
am no longer confident enough to answer that question. And I refuse to revisit it. Let's hear some more from Logan.
And then you get the entertainment of something burning, which is a lot of fun, kind of like yeah. the entertainment of the... Okay, I'm kidding, but you know the odds... You have better odds of in the same day, okay, getting struck by lightning, hitting a hole-in-one, and getting bit by a shark.
I want him to have all three of those things happen to him. As
wouldn't that be great?
This report.
What a D-bag.
Then winning this. Are you still going to play?
I am.
Why?
Why not?
Why not? Because you can't win unless you play.
Exactly.
Does he really think that he is going to be able to talk people out of buying a ticket? Is that his goal, is to have somebody say, hey, you know what? You're right. I didn't realize this wasn't instant, easy, free money.
It sounds like it.
Who's Brody working for is my question.
Now, what do you mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Something's up with Brody. He's very anti-lottery.
And then he's going to buy a bunch of tickets?
I don't
you
know.
You think he's running people off so he has better odds?
Something.
Then he can buy three tickets and his chances are tripled.
Tripled. I've heard that.
Interesting. I guess the takeaway is buy a ticket if you want to.
Yeah, because you could win $450 million.
Yes,
here's the
exactly.
Thing, here's the thing about the lottery that people don't understand why it's such a great thing. When you go to Vegas, you have to gamble a lot of money to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
With the lottery, you don't. You pay a buck. You're not going to win. You know you're not going to win. You throw away the dollar. That's okay.
You're fine.
Unless you do.
But someone might.
Someone might, exactly.
And it might be Bean.
And my then we suckers.
Never hear from him again.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Radio.com.
Rams are in the playoffs for the first time in Southern California in decades. Will they win? Can they beat the Falcons? We'll find out what RJ Bell says from Las Vegas at pregame.com coming up.
So Justin Timberlake has a new song.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Filthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
before you say anything, when you know that Justin Timberlake is coming out with a new song, because this was promoted a few days ago, that Friday was the day the new song was coming out, what's your level of excitement and interest in hearing it the day it comes out?
It's nothing like the bands that I love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine, you know, even Coldplay, any of the bands that we play, I would be more excited about. But I do like him.
Right.
You're not staying up till midnight waiting for it. Okay.
But yeah. I like a lot of his songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I assume that I would like this one.
Yeah.
I feel like he is a major artist. And I feel
agreed.
Like he is an artist that sometimes, you know, kind of pushes the conversation forward, expands the boundaries of pop a little bit.
Well,
and
like Sexy Back was super weird at the time.
It was.
Really?
Yes. But ended up loving it.
First go around, didn't love it.
I liked it, uh-huh. But I didn't love it. I was like, okay. Oh, I don't know. I'm not positive. But then after you listen to it two or three times, it gets catchy and it gets, and then
sure.
To me, it was a good song.
Yeah. For me, I knew I'd wake up and that would be in my Apple Music because I already had the pre-order.
You already had it.
Yeah.
I was that way with what was it called? Can't stop
dancing.
Can't stop the feeling.
Can't shake my ass.
I didn't care for that at all either. And then it just ended up just being one of those things I could not stop listening to and could not stop singing along with. So Filthy is the new single that just came out today. And I think people are surprised for a number of reasons. One is
it's bad.
The album, well, not necessarily, Kevin. Let's wait and see.
Okay.
But the album is called Man of the Woods. And the artwork that came out earlier in the week kind of made it look like it was going to be, I don't know, mellow or acoustic or, you know, folksy or something like that. And it's the opposite of that. And people, I don't know, were expecting something like this. And the internet, Allie, are you saying it's pretty split in terms of social media so far?
No.
It's not even split?
Not so much split. Maybe a little mixed reaction, but the majority is like, what just happened in my ears?
Well, here's the thing that we know about the internet as well. People who like it aren't necessarily as apt to go on social media as people who hate it.
Right.
Almost all people who hate it just go, I have to tell everybody that I hate it.
And it's rare that you pile on to goodness. Pile on to badness.
Right.
Let's hear some of Filthy, shall we? The new single from Justin Timberlake.
Hey!
Got it. All right, pause for a sec. What do you think so far?
Honestly,
you want to know honestly?
Well, driving in,
of course.
I listened to it and I went, oh, Justin.
Same.
Listening to it here for the second time, I'm like, okay, Justin.
Same.
How weird is that?
I liked it a little bit better.
My God.
That bass line's real good.
Right.
And that haters are going to say it's fake, obviously, is kind of hooky.
Okay.
One Twitter user said, first I thought JT's new song Filthy was trash. Upon second listen, I think it's garbage. So
I'm completely turned around. Now. I'm opposite.
You like it a little
right
better.
Now.
This is NERD? Is this Pharrell?
It sounds very influenced by him.
It's Timbaland.
Oh,
Timbaland. Okay.
Is the who is the one who always produces. And someone named Danja also helping produce this one. But let's hear a little bit more Filthy. What you gonna do if I need you?
I mean,
okay, here's the thing, that up thing at the end, like thunder.
Right.
I hated it the first time. Now I'm like, I don't hate it as much. What is happening? What kind of spell did he cast?
He's a magician.
This is sorcery, Justin.
It also has a little blurred lines in it for me. I'm getting a little bit of that vibe.
Yeah, a little.
Okay.
Do you think when he performs it live, you'll actually hear his voice?
I thought that too. How do you do this song live? Because this is just the first 40 seconds. It goes on for four more minutes.
Correct.
And it takes about five different turns in it.
Now, this part to me sounds a little hookish. This is the one part that I thought was all right. Okay.
You can sing along. So, baby, don't you mind if I do? Put your filthy hands all over me. No restraining version. What you gonna do for that beast?
I gotta tell you.
Oh, he's gonna say something about coming out of a cage. When
I leave the leave the cave open?
The cage open. Because what's she going to do with all that beast? You know what he's talking about, right? He has a pet lion.
Twitter, hear more Twitter comments. Some people were not feeling Filthy. They also weren't ready for Sexy back either. Now it's in their top five. People S on creative artists for doing new stuff. The same people who hated Suit and Tie when it came out on 2020 Part 1 came around. Filthy is beyond a banger. So at least a few people are digging it. I got to tell you, it sounds like a hit to me now.
I'm listening more and I'm digging it more. What if I listen on the way home and it's now my favorite song? How'd that happen?
Well, don't listen on the way home, I think is the answer.
Because you don't want it to be my favorite song?
Well, no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right?
No!
I'll tell you what is a good song, and everybody can agree on it. It's Foo Fighters, The Pretender.
Okay.
That's a great song.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Actor Clark Gregg from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the next room will be joining us shortly. First, though, it's the first Friday of the new year, you guys. That means it's time to ring our bell.
Cause he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
Our friend RJ, live from Las Vegas, is the founder of Pregame.com. He is also the host of RJ Bell's Dream Preview, the podcast available on iTunes with college football and NFL episodes every week. Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider of the Associated Press. Happy New Year, RJ.
Same to you guys.
And congratulations on yet another winning record in the regular season on the Kevin and Bean Show for our listeners. Is this 4 years in a row or 3 years? How long have we been doing this?
Four years, four winning records.
Now, that's amazing.
It did take a perfect 3-0 last time.
Sure, but you did it.
I did it.
But you did it.
I did it for drama. I did it for drama.
Look, here's the thing. A lot of people can pick games, you know, just win or lose. But RJ does it with the spread.
Yeah. Wow, that does. It's the
it
great
makes it difficult.
Equalizer.
Yeah, it really does.
Certainly makes it tough. Now, we all know that the Super Bowl is the biggest betting event in Las Vegas. The playoffs are significantly bigger than regular season, RJ?
For sure, because what you end up getting is people tend to bet every game, and it's something you want to avoid because the theory is if you have four games, and let's say you bet one of them, that's 25% of the games. Well, during the regular season, people don't even typically bet 25% of the games. So the volume of games go up. Usually people bet a little bit more, and you get people who actually bet the playoffs who don't bet the regular season. So in many ways, the action goes up and culminating in the Super Bowl, which is the biggest bet event in America the whole year.
Sure. All right, before we get into the wild card schedule this weekend, I just wanted to ask, because of that ESPN bombshell report that came out last night, do you see that in the line on the chances of New England repeating as Super Bowl champions?
No, the Pats are favored. So they're 2-1. They are the favorite, Vikings second, Steelers third. And I think it's a situation where now that this is coming out, that there seems to be some internal disruption. I personally think it's a significant negative, mostly because the Patriots usually don't have this kind of distraction. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to it.
Allie, explain quickly to people who haven't followed this, what's going on with the Patriots.
Well, apparently there's some internal struggle with Tom Brady and his guru, his trainer guy, mm-hmm. His dietitian, all of that. Rookies and other teammates felt pressured to go to him for work being done instead of the team trainers.
Right.
And Belichick was trying to get kind of a rap on that. Like, hey, let's figure this out. So banned him from being in anymore. That's not great. Belichick and Tom, not great friends.
Tell us about Garoppolo.
And according to this article, Tom is the one that went to Kraft, got in his ear, and was like, listen, I'm here for 2 more years. Let's get rid of that guy. We don't need him. I'm good. And Belichick was PO'd, didn't want to do it. He saw Garoppolo as the future of the team, which he is.
Yeah, of course.
So
it's just the
yeah.
future of a different team now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of, and there's problems. McDaniel's already on his way out. Matt Patricia is most likely leaving. So it's just, it's a cluster.
I'd be all right with New England not winning again.
I think a lot of people would. And I think it might kind of happen all if right, Belichick well. Leaves, especially.
They have the weekend off, of course, as they always do. They always earn that bye. But the teams that are playing, there's some very intriguing matchups, RJ. We want to start with your big dog pick. This is the Falcons, who just squeaked in on the last day of the season into the playoffs, and they are in town playing our Rams. What say you?
And we like the Falcons here, +6. Atlanta has been the favorite wise guy team this season of any of the teams. And the reason is their stats have been much better than the scoreboard. And whenever that's the case, the public tends to trust the scoreboard. The pros tend to trust the stats. Atlanta has playoff experience. Obviously, last year they made the Super Bowl. Rams, a lot of talent, no playoff experience. And this Rams team has played well with the lead. And they've had a great season, and so has Goff, a good season. But late in games, if it's tight games, Goff has actually been below average, and I expect this to be a tight game. Speaking of tight games, Greg the Leg, the kicker, out for the Rams. That could really be important in a tight game like this. Rams are favored to win the game for sure, but value on the Falcons +6 points.
Very interesting. All right, your best bet has the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans playing.
Yeah, and Kansas City is favored here. We're laying the lumber with the Chiefs, favored by 8. Listen, Kansas City started the year 5-0. They had that big win against the Patriots. They had a midseason slump. Since 5 games ago, though, Andy Reid, the coach, has given up the play-calling duties. And since that's happened, the offense was as good as it was early in the year, and the defense has even been better. So many people don't feel this, but I think Kansas City is playing the best right now as any time during the season. They're a very good home team, and they're home in this game. Now, Tennessee has Marcus Mariota. He has more interceptions this season than touchdowns. There's only 3 other quarterbacks in the NFL that do. One of them's on the Browns, so think about that for a second. Tennessee's been outscored on the season. They've actually given up more points than they've scored. That means they're a below-average team. Now, typically in the regular season, listeners know we like underdogs more than big favorites.
Right.
But one of the reasons is because favorites are often flat if they're big favorites during the regular season. Looking ahead, well, you never look ahead during the playoffs. These favorites are going to be totally focused. One of them, I think, is Kansas City. We like the Chiefs.
All right, good information there. And the big game special, Jacksonville and Buffalo.
Laying the lumber again. Jacksonville is a big favorite here. Now, check this out. We talked about Tennessee had been outscored on the season. The Buffalo Bills have been outscored on the season by 57 points. Let me create some context. The Chicago Bears, one of the worst teams in the league, was outscored by 56 points. So this Bills team is about as good as the Bears, it would seem. One of the worst playoff teams we've seen in the last decade. And Jacksonville, not a great team, but when they have the lead in a game, they're very good. Why? Because they can run the ball exceptionally well, and they defend the pass exceptionally well when the other team has to pass. So Jacksonville laying the points makes a lot of sense. By the way, Bills' best player, LeSean McCoy, he is questionable. He might not even play the game. And if he does, he's going to be less than 100%. Why is McCoy, the running back, so valuable for the Bills? It's because they don't have a good quarterback, so they only really run the ball effectively. And he's got a very bad backup. So McCoy is so key, and he's injured. We're taking the Jags, laying the big number.
So Buffalo may have to just settle with, hey, we made the playoffs for the first time in 17 years, but that's all we're going to do this year, right?
Which you've got to wonder if that's part of their emotions here, because it was so unlikely on week 17, them getting in. I think there was some celebration, and then they've got to play a game a week later.
Very exciting stuff. All right, recapping from RJ Bell in Las Vegas. The big dog game is Atlanta Falcons plus 6 over the LA Rams. Best bet, Kansas City Chiefs minus 8 over Tennessee. Big game special, Jacksonville minus 8.5 over Buffalo. Don't forget, RJ Bell's Dream Preview, great podcast with professional bettors and lots of special guests with pro and college games, available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And go to pregame.com for more. RJ in Vegas on Twitter. Have a great week, a great week, a weekend of playoff football. We'll talk to you next Friday, RJ.
Thank you, guys.
Cousins RJ Bell, RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell, RJ Bell.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
I have so many questions for this man.
Oh, I have so few answers.
Kevin, at some point, you have to realize that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is above you.
Well, here's the thing. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is above me, but this is the beauty of the writers. They're so good, just barely. I'm pretty close.
Yeah. You think so? Yes. You think you almost have it all figured out?
I think the writers of the show are so good that people like myself can even just about get it.
Yeah.
The show returns tonight at 9 on ABC. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, Clark Gregg.
Yeah. Hello. Agent so Coulson nice back.
Welcome back, sir. You must run into a lot of Kevins going about your day, Clark, where people come up and they expect you, as an actor on the show, to be able to explain the craziness of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do sometimes run
good,
into
good, because
people.
I'm about to ask you the same thing.
Okay.
So the season starts in space, yep. And the Blue Man Group are in charge, and what? And then what?
Who's in Vegas right now is the question. Mm-hmm. Who's doing their show?
What's happening?
Yes. We've got the Kree overlords, this fascistic, blue, incredibly powerful group of people we met in the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's a space station, and we seem to be in an alien planet. And then, you know, I don't want to spoil anybody, but there's reasons to believe we might just be on our own planet in a very dystopian future.
It looked
are you
like,
caught up yet?
It looked like Earth had been demolished.
Spoiler. Yeah.
It was
not having a good day.
Right, right.
I don't know how that might have popped into the writers' minds these days. I don't know that someone had really kind of neglected the environment in an extreme way, so there's only a shard of Earth left.
So then I have one question. I just want to see if I'm correct on this, because if I am, then I feel good about myself.
I don't feel good about this.
Fitz.
Yeah.
Devises a plan to get put into cryotherapy and to be frozen for 70 years into the future, so that 70 years from now, he can go to where you guys are and keep Earth from getting demolished.
Oh, my God, you're killing us.
Yes!
You could be one of the writers. Wow.
I'm killing it!
Yes.
Bean, would you have bet all money against me?
Yes, I would have.
Because it sounds absurd, but
because he
well
didn't
done.
Go through the model, he didn't go through the time space time continuum
right.
shifting.
You don't have to tell me
gateway monolith.
I get it.
It's logical. It makes sense. A lot of times when people ask, they think, "Look, this is a sci-fi Marvel blanket. Please don't pull on a thread.
Just enjoy it and accept it."
Yes,
right, Clark. When the show began, and you're in what, the fifth season? Now I want to
say. Yeah, we just shot our 100th episode.
Oh, congratulations. That's
like
a big
Agent
deal in
Coulson,
TV.
We just keep going.
Right?
You try to kill us, we pull the spear out of our chest and come at you anyway.
I just remember when the show, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, because you came along at a time where people were in love with the characters in the Marvel movies and whatnot, and people were like, how are they going to do this without any of the main...
The superpowered Robert Downey's of the world.
Right. Exactly. How are they
going to... It's nice that Coulson's alive.
Plus, Coulson died.
Yeah, he was dead.
We didn't even know that at that point. Yeah. We didn't know how that
was
going.
We've got a middle-aged, non-powered zombie.
Right.
Yay!
So my question is, when the thing started, people were like, wow, they managed to figure out a way to thread the needle here and actually make it a very entertaining show and introduce us to a bunch of other new players that we love and everything. But are you stunned that five seasons in, you're still going strong?
Well, I am and I'm not in that, yes, originally coming out of the gate, people were like, well, what are we going to be looking at? How is it going to work on an ABC format? And when will I see Thor? And which is certainly how I wake up every morning. But that was never really the concept of the show. The reason they made a show is that they killed off my middle-aged, non-powered character. And people weren't happy. The fans weren't happy. They did this Coulson Lives movement. And they realized that there was possibly a show in the people who are working, you know, to protect the people and the superheroes who don't have powers.
How strange is that, as an actor, to die and then have a groundswell of support out there where people are... demanding that you get put back on a show.
It was surreal. I was pretty sure it was a prank being played on me by some of my friends just to check if my ego would really buy that. And it didn't. But it was amazing. But I do think it was because what Coulson represents, which is there was a human connection. I don't think even Marvel thought right away that there would be this reaction to this guy or a need for him to represent the part of the comics that's there, which is S.H.I.E.L.D., who are the vulnerable but who are still doing these heroic things and involved with these heroic people. But the show, as you pointed out, it started out with people wanting that, and it took a while for them to start to go, wait, now I really care about this weird Scottish scientist and what's going to happen with his girlfriend. And lo and behold, one of our characters, Sky originally, now Daisy, she gets powers and becomes an Inhuman, which is kind of like an X-Men, I can almost say, now that the corporations are merged, a mutant. And suddenly we have one of our people who actually has some power. So the show's really evolved. They've let us explore kind of the periphery of the Marvel Universe that they're not using in the films. And it's let it become its own standalone comic book thing that has found a way to work, I believe, on network.
And I would just like to say that the writers have done such a good job of introducing that stuff slowly enough so that you're not getting whiplash and you don't go, oh, come on. Really have made it work.
I had instructions before I came here. Just find out if he's confused. Because he's our barometer.
He's always confused.
Well, speaking of exploring, if you will, I feel like you guys are too busy in space right now just trying to survive to explore what I need to happen.
Okay, what's that?
Wow.
I think you know.
Uh-oh. It could be a couple of things.
Belinda.
Oh, yes.
What's happening? We get it. You need to survive. You're a little busy right now.
Wow.
But love.
You need love, even in space.
We were on that track.
And you need a little sexy time.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, when I got on an ABC show, I was like, oh, thank God, I finally have a love interest.
Clark, that's what I'm saying.
Not so much.
No.
They all get killed off, or I fall in love, or have a deep love thing with my best friend and comrade, Agent May. And there's been this 100-episode long kind of flirting with that concept.
It's blue balls.
A lot of fan shipping.
It's TV blue balls.
Yes.
That's what it is.
There's an episode that's called that that's coming up soon. Spoiler alerts.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to talk about you directing.
Okay.
I do want to talk about Agent May for a second because we love Ming-Na Wen and we had her in.
Yes.
Who would win in a fight between the two of you?
Oh, she would win.
She would win. Okay, 100%. That's the right answer. All right. 100%. Clark Gregg is here. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Agent Phil Coulson in studio with us right now from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're talking about actor Clark Gregg. The show returns after its winter break tonight at 9 on ABC. And this is a very special episode for many reasons, including the director, Clark Gregg, is the genius behind this episode.
Oh, wow.
Now, you've directed movies before.
I have. I've directed a couple of independent features.
And I loved Choke, by the way. I loved that movie so much. Who didn't? But any difference in directing this TV show that you know inside and out? I would imagine it, in some ways, would have been a lot easier.
No.
Have you been lobbying to do it?
No.
You haven't?
I haven't. I find my regular job there, you know, we shoot
pretty taxing?
We shoot a little tiny Marvel movie every 8 days. And
that's what I love about it, is it does feel like you're watching a full movie.
It has become like that, yeah, with the way the visual effects have evolved just the skills of our fight and visual effects people. They've really found a way to make it really, in my mind, visually compete with that world. And so there's a lot that happens, and there's a lot for us to do normally. And I was just intimidated by trying to do stuff I hadn't done before, like big visual effects and big fights with wires and superpowers and stuff.
So did they come to you and say,
hey? They mentioned it to me a couple of times. I think just kind of seeing if it was something I was secretly dying to do. And I wasn't. Or at least I was scared.
It's odd to hear an actor say that, because it does seem
what
like
really
most actors
do,
who have been on a show for a while, always want the next step, which is to direct.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised now that I resisted it, because it ended up being really fun. And I think there's a thing where, on the one hand, 22 episodes of that kind of television, it's really an endurance race, and yeah. I can't.
So what I'm picking up is you're saying don't expect a lot tonight.
Okay. The lower you can come in with your expectations.
All right.
But so then they found a way to do it where I was light in the episode before, so I could actually do prep and kind of, I wanted to know how to do some of that stuff before I went in. And then it ended up being a thing where the crew, I just came to understand how deep the game is on so many departments I don't always get to work with one-on-one like that. And my cast and everybody really stepped up and ended up being one of the funnest things I've done. And of course I said, well, if I'm going to do this, give me a big one. What the hell?
I like that kind of thinking.
Yeah. You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm scared of it. Give me a big one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they did, and they really gave me one with giant, giant stuff happening between some of the other characters that people might ship happening tonight. Some game-changing stuff.
I'm listening.
And I think maybe one of the biggest fights we've ever had.
Wow.
Really?
To the death. There might be some people you don't see anymore after tonight.
Whoa.
That's a tease.
Wow.
One of them might be me, but...
Turns out you can't say that on the radio. Club.
So bad. I'm sorry. Speaking please
of
tell
your,
me there's a delay.
Yes, there is. Okay, there is. Speaking of your very talented co-stars.
Yeah.
Is that weird now? You're kind of technically, if only for a week, you're their boss and they kind of have to do what you say as opposed to being coworkers?
Do you throw your weight around?
You know, it's funny. I think there may have been a fear that I would, knowing me, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., director of the show called S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
So there was so much heckling on the first day. Teasing, just, here comes the tyrant, and, you know, they gave me a ton of grief, but not really. Everybody was so cool. I expected worse, honestly. but you're right in that, you know, that's one of the other reasons that I was hesitant, is you have a channel that you work in with people, and we've done 100 episodes, and you really are going into a different space if you're going to collaborate in that way with the other actors. And they were, you know, Chloe Bennett and Henry, oh my God.
Simmons.
Yes, Henry. I get confused because there's the character Simmons.
Right.
Henry Simmons, my buddy. They both kind of came early on and said, don't hold back. I want to see where this goes. Let's
is
really
that right?
dive.
Wow.
So, you know, it was cool. Yeah.
You didn't feel the pressure of there was a huge cliffhanger and now you have to pay that off. You didn't feel extra pressure for that?
No, I mean, you know, no. I knew that I felt pressure in general just because I had a feeling that there'd be people would pay attention, and so I just wanted an episode. But also, I felt like this season, once again, these writers have torn the thing apart and started over. Yeah. Oh, hey, now we're in space. We had an incredibly successful season last year with LMD's Ghost Rider and this thing called The Framework that was like The Matrix.
It was fantastic.
And, you know, it was very well received, and our show was really hitting on all cylinders, and boom, we're in space. And actually,
so then
this
show says, let's not do any of that.
Yeah, they just throw it out
the
window.
Let's get rid of Earth.
Which is
Let's
so
take
gutsy.
What's working.
Yeah,
let's start again.
Yeah, and as Henry's character says in the first season, like, sure, space. We're in space. That's the one thing we haven't done yet. And and so I really, the biggest pressure I felt was just season five was already really special, and I just wanted to kind of not drop the ball.
All right, so where we left off, Fitz.
And I didn't, okay?
All right, we'll, okay. We'll be the judge of that tonight.
Well, maybe I did. I don't think I did, but maybe.
I don't think you did.
So Fitz wakes up. That's the end of the episode last time, and he's with you guys now.
Fitz has been in a special ice pod. Yes. He talk about blue balls. He's woken up after a very, very, very long nap so that he
70
can,
million years or whatever
and
it was.
And he shows up and he's got an alias. Mm-hmm. The Chronomicon, the Watcher, mm-hmm. the 10,000-year-old synthetic being. Sure, tune in, people.
Now, can you tell us anything?
Enoch, who explains stuff to both Fitz and to our audience.
Sort of.
He's set him up with an alter ego, an incredibly ruthless and incredibly wealthy space marauder named Boshtok, which I just love.
Plot point.
And if you know Ian DeCastacker, this wiry little Scotsman who's also very tough and brilliant, to get him to walk in like a gangster with all these Cree gladiator
with that bitters. Helmet on. When he took the helmet off, I was like, that's him?
I know.
What?
I know. He's got his wits and his skills to try to save us all.
And is there anything else you can tell us about tonight's episode? You said there's the biggest fight ever, maybe. So I'm
to
assuming
a
that's,
death.
So I'm
to
assuming that's what the crew.
Death. I mean, it's been set up. It's between Daisy Quake with her superpowers and this mysterious and quite lovely Kree warrior princess. Although she's not a princess, Sinara, mm-hmm. Who has these. We call them the balls of destiny.
A lot of balls.
I'd like to tell you that we're grown-ups and that there wasn't a ton of giggling around that every single time she would move her hands and the balls would float
they
up.
They look like anal beads, I got to be honest. Yeah. They do look like that.
What are those?
I don't know what those look like, Kevin.
Yank those out, please.
Well played.
Hey, Clark, before we run out of time.
Why don't you just yank those
I
out
think we
for
just
anyone.
Ran out of time.
Now that you have...
Hold on, can we get a mic over there, please?
Now that you have directed, any interest in writing an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know, no, I don't. I would love to be able to write with those people, but they have this thing. They go into this weird pod. They're all on feeding tubes, and they have one giant thing attached to all their brains. And this brilliant collective of 13 or 14 people just kick out one after another of these things. And I think I'd have to spend 9 months in the pod and stop eating and yeah, you know, to go do that, to be part of the hive. And I'm happier with what I do.
Gotcha. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns tonight at 9 on ABC, by the way. Season 5 of the show. Congratulations on all the success, Clark.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back.
The show is great. It's wonderful to see you. You're welcome anytime, my friend.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're going to be looking. I know this is a specialized request. This is not going to apply to most people listening, but we are looking for present and past 911 operators to give us a call coming up after the top of the hour. Because it seems like if you're answering calls for 911, maybe they're not all emergencies.
There's a never-ending stream of stories of people calling because they didn't get enough fries at McDonald's. It's insane what people call with.
And I will tell you that anytime those tapes are released, I am always astonished and so impressed by the professionalism of the operators that they don't dress those people down, that they're always nice to them anyway. You know what I mean?
Same. Yeah.
Even when they're giving them the bad news that, hey, sir, that's not what 911's about.
So you don't have to give us your real name if you don't want to, but we would like to talk to you if you are or were a 911 operator just after the top of the hour.
First, though, let's find out what's happening. Here's Allie.
This is a bizarre story, and I completely believe it. Apparently, Matt Lauer didn't get the memo that he no longer works at NBC because apparently...
That memo was pretty public.
Yeah, it was pretty public. But apparently, he's been, you know, sending notes and critiques of the show to producers.
Has he been?
Yeah. Like, he's just watching along, telling them what they could and couldn't do better, and chided a producer for using the wrong music in a segment. And apparently not going over well with...
Well, that was a miscalculation.
With the folks over there at the Today Show that are like, dude.
You're gone.
Right? Wouldn't you text back and go, new anchor, who dis? Like, come on. It's insane.
Matt, put your pants back on and go find something to do.
That's what I'm saying. Well, maybe...
it might be best if you just let it go, okay?
It's bizarre.
That is weird.
But can you see it?
I see him doing it? Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
This is an interesting story. I had brought this to you a couple days ago about maybe Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers having a little love connection because she was spotted in Green Bay canoodling,
right,
if you will. Well, this is an interesting little switch up. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers' ex, Olivia Munn, is now dating Chris Pratt. But okay, the real bizarre part of it is she was on Anna Faris's podcast about a year ago, and she wound up saying something about how she'd love to have a tattoo of an eagle's wings on her back, to which Anna said, "Oh, Chris has that. You would be his dream girl." Oh, no. I don't like... Oh, okay. Do you think she willed it? Like, put it out to the universe?
No.
Okay.
Do you think the secret is real? No.
I do not. Not even a little bit?
Nope.
I think she's Olivia Munn, and she probably has her pick.
Correct.
Yeah. Probably a good call.
Correct.
Speaking of exes, we all have creepy exes, right?
Right.
Ones that were like, what was I thinking? Well, Madonna's might take the cake. Radar Online is reporting that her former boyfriend, Peter Hsu, is planning to auction off some of Madonna's...
used? Is the next word used?
Yep.
Underwear?
Panties? It says here panties, which I wasn't going to say because that might be up there with moist. Just a horrible word. Yep, it's true. And understandably, not pleased about it at all. And he claims her people have been trying to negotiate a deal, but his price is just a little too high. What?
Panties.
Okay. All right.
That is a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that's involved in that thing.
Yeah.
But it is a thing.
It is a thing. That was a whole storyline on Orange is the New Black a couple seasons ago. They started
That's when I stopped watching, by the way.
Because you were too hot?
Yeah, Bean strikes me as a panty guy.
No, because that whole storyline just grossed me out too
much. Are you a panty guy?
Really?
Not at all. And they were spending so much time on it every episode. It was their whole business, Kevin, from behind bars.
Yeah.
Sending out panties, yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's where you drew the line.
That's where I got off that show. Yeah.
Wow.
That might be my favorite thing I've ever heard. Did you hear about this? Kendrick Lamar, he's putting together the soundtrack for the upcoming Marvel movie, Black Panther.
I did not hear about that.
It's true.
That's awesome.
The first single is called All the Stars, featuring Kendrick and SZA. Okay. All right, Kendrick.
I'm in.
He's doing some okay stuff. Mary J. Blige is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yay!
Yes. On January 11th, and Diddy is going to be part of the festivities. Have either of you watched Mudbone on Netflix?
I have not yet. I still want to, but I have not yet. Is she great in it?
She is phenomenal.
I think she's a real good actress.
I don't even know what Mudbone is.
It's a movie.
Mud what?
Did I say Mudbone?
You did.
No, Mudbound.
Did I say Mother Love Bone?
I'm
what
not
did I say?
Of what you said, but Mudbound. I think you said Mudbone.
Okay. I think I did say Mudbone. That's interesting.
Mudbound. Okay.
Mudbound.
I
it's
still
on
don't
Netflix,
know what that is.
And it's phenomenal. Just watch the trailer. If you are not immediately wanting to go home and watch it after you see the trailer, something might be wrong with
all
you.
Right.
But Mary J. Blige is just she's phenomenal. Bean, it's your kind of movie. You're going
to
love it.
I'm looking forward to it. I definitely want to see it.
You are going to love it. And just a reminder, you guys, today at noon, both weekends are on sale for the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Both weekends on sale at noon. That's Friday.
Is Mudbone playing? Do we know?
Mother Love Bone will not be playing because they lost their lead singer, I believe, back in the 90s. So they won't be there. However, The Weeknd, Beyonce, Eminem, those are your three headliners for that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But two weekends, the weekend of April 13th and the weekend of April 20th, on sale today at noon. Some birthdays for you. Actor Robert Duvall, actress Diane Keaton, actor Bradley Cooper, singer Marilyn Manson, and January Jones. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, we're talking to 911 operators right now, past and present, at 1-800-520-1067. We have a story that's in the news this week, but first, Let's start the segment with Sarah. She's in Orange County. We're talking about the way people misuse 911. They call and it's not an emergency, and you can't believe some of the stuff people have said when the 911 operator picks up. Sarah, you used to do this for a living?
Yes, I did.
And how was that? How did you like the job? It seems like it'd be unbelievably stressful.
It had its good days and bad days, but the funny stories made it worth it.
All right.
So somebody calls with nonsense. Do you guys just circulate that amongst all yourselves and go, can you believe this?
Sometimes you'd send a little chat to someone and tell them what you've heard, but you try to keep it on the down low.
All right. Who called you and what did they say?
One of my favorite stories was from an elderly lady in South Orange County, and she called requesting her money back because the escort she ordered on Craigslist had a smaller penis than what he advertised and did not provide her with an orgasm. So she demanded her money back and he would not return the money.
Now, when you hear that, you have to think this is a prank, right?
Yes and no, but she was very angry. She was screaming and yelling, and we were getting other calls from her neighbors about a yelling female in the comments.
Wow, so you knew it was real.
And it's
yes,
so funny because
you think it's a prank.
Isn't she calling the authorities to report something that stems from her illegal behavior also?
Yes, but we've had several calls of that where people want their money back from porn prostitution where they weren't pleased.
Oh, they weren't pleased. Wow. So they want you guys to send somebody out and go, look, it wasn't what was promised.
If I'm not doing anything illegal, but I just call because I'm not pleased with the size, that's fine? Or no?
None of it's okay.
Do not call 911.
Well.
Got it.
So, Sarah, I've heard in the past that 911 operators almost always do send a policeman out just in case something's going on that they don't know about that's not being, you know, properly transmitted. And so there's no liability. In that case, would you send an officer out?
No, we didn't send the officer out. However,
with a ruler?
If you request an officer, we do, but we try not to send an officer calls like that.
Try not to waste their time, too, like your time has been wasted. All right. That's a great story, Sarah. We very much appreciate you listening and calling. Thank you so much. So this story that got us thinking about 911 operators, we want to hear from you and your stories at 1-800-520-1067. We did yesterday in Kevin and Bean's What's Up with Florida, and this is a man named Nelson Augusto from Stewart. If you missed this yesterday, I think you'll like this. He went to Krabby's Seafood Shack, and he ordered the clam platter. So $12, the plate of clams comes out, and he says, there's not enough clam. There's too much shell, not enough clam. So he calls 911 to report a gross miscarriage of justice.
So that's a weird step, right?
Yeah.
Don't you first go to the person that gave you the food?
The server,
then
sure.
Then the manager. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's... It doesn't even occur to you to call 911 because there's not enough clams.
It doesn't seem like a police matter to me at all.
No.
So the 911 dispatcher says, hey, sir, you got to call the non-emergency line. This is an emergency line only. Here's the number. He calls back a few minutes later and said, hey, I didn't get an answer on the non-emergency line, and I still insist that an officer is sent out. And the dispatcher said, I'm not gonna do that. But he did, in fact, send an officer out to arrest the man who made the 911 call. And now he has to go to court on January 11th because it's a misuse of 911. That's a misdemeanor in the state of Florida and all over the United States. You're right, Kevin. I don't know where the idea comes from that that's an emergency call if you're dissatisfied with your claims.
I feel like that guy is going to go to court and is going to stand up and tell the judge the same thing. But Your Honor, there weren't enough clams. Right? That guy doesn't understand anything.
All right, I took a look at my files because we have talked about 911 calls in the past, and I found a couple that I think illustrate the point.
911, where's the emergency?
Hello, I'm going to have somebody come to Orange City.
What's going on?
Something that happened in my dream, and it's actually happening.
Okay, what's happening?
That's it. Everything that happened today is actually in my dream, and I want to prove to everybody.
Okay, so what did you dream about that's happening?
It's all on paper. I wrote it down.
Okay, we'll get someone out there to you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
She just doesn't want to talk to that dude anymore, right?
She shouldn't.
Okay.
And what, is he going to keep it close to the vest? He doesn't want to tell me what happened?
Well, no.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Is it a secret? It is weird that he wouldn't give you any details. All right, here's another one. What do you guys think about this one?
Hi there. I just have kind of a ridiculous question. I'm home alone, and there is a giant spider on the back of my house.
Nope.
And I am talking giant. I have never seen a spider this big, and I have no idea what to do.
What's on the back of your couch?
A spider. As ridiculous as that is, I've just spent the last 20 minutes panicking. It is so big.
Sounds like Assistant Producer Christine would have made that call, by the way.
You know, I love that.
I mean, at least she gets it. She gets that it's ridiculous, and I maybe shouldn't even be calling you.
But I can't figure anything else out.
Because she's just, at this point, she feels like she just has to move, right?
Well, yeah, you burn your house down. That's the only answer.
All right, here's another one.
I need assistance at Jams, Lincoln, and Woodbury.
I know, what's
the problem? They stole my damn dollars. He won't fix my taco. I'm having a ride, Kenny. He's holding my dollar 10 cents.
Hold on, slow down. What's going on? Hello?
What did I say?
I can't tell.
No idea.
I need assistance. I want my dollar or my taco.
You're having a problem with the taco?
I am.
It sounds like a taco problem.
She wants her dollar or her taco, I think.
One or the other.
Again, doesn't maybe seem like a police matter.
Right.
Let's go to Yvette, Los Angeles, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Yvette, thank you so much for listening and for calling. You are or were a 911 operator?
I currently am.
Okay.
Okay, fantastic. So you hear this topic and you're like, oh yeah, been there.
Yes, it's all day, every day.
It's all day, every day. What kind of calls do you get?
Well, just about anything. I just think people don't know what other number to call, so they just call 911, like a catch-all. So anything from my lights went out to my neighbor called me ugly. And
you didn't get a call from somebody who said, my neighbor called me ugly.
Yes, I have gotten a call about my neighbor called me ugly.
All right, let me ask you a question about that, because I would be fired as a 911 operator, because I would talk to that person forever. I would say, describe yourself. You know what? Send me a picture.
You're the worst.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Unless the neighbor was harassing her in a way that would mean you would call 911.
Yeah, that's not fun, right?
No. She's wasting services.
Right. So, we go into our questioning, like, did anything else happen? Did she threaten you? Is this an ongoing problem? And it's just like, no, she just looked at me. She called me ugly. That's so rude. And I would like someone to come and talk to her and tell her that that's not nice.
So in her mind, having a police officer come out and tell her neighbor that it's not nice to call her ugly was a good use of the police.
Absolutely not. The police are not.
No,
there.
I'm saying in her mind. In her
right.
mind. Yes.
Well, in her mind, yes. So people call about anything and they think that the police can resolve any issue. I mean, we get calls every morning of kids not wanting to go to school, and they want the officer to come and tell the kid to go to school.
Oh my gosh, man, that's crazy.
Did you guys see the story of that? I'm sure you saw it, about the kid that called 911 over Christmas to warn the police that the Grinch was going to try to steal the holiday. Did you guys see that?
I did not see that.
That's a good use of 911.
I did. Right, he had good intentions. So.
Right, very good intentions. All right, Yvette, well, thank you for the great work that you do as a 911 operator. I know it's a very tough job, but a very valuable one. We really appreciate your call, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, listen. Omar, how many times in our relationship have we given you advice?
Oh, tons. Uh-huh. Tons, yeah.
How many times have you taken that advice?
None.
Never.
None.
But it's worked out okay, right?
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Totally. You never want to listen to Kevin and Bean.
No.
Look how they turned out.
That's what I'm
really?
Saying.
Really? You know?
All right, let's talk about the conversation that we had before Christmas.
Yeah.
You were going to get a Christmas gift for your lovely wife.
Yeah, I was going to get her an Instant Pot, and you guys warned me not to do it, and I was like, this thing is so amazing. It does everything. She's going to love me so much for it.
Life moves faster each day, and we make sacrifices just to keep up. None more so than in the kitchen. This hurried lifestyle means having to eat hastily thrown together meals and on-the-go processed foods. For a growing family, this is unacceptable, and we know it. But who has the extra time, kitchen space, or energy to create healthy family meals after day, night after night?
Right. Now let me stop you right there. For folks who don't know about the Instant Pot, it's not just an appliance. It is a cult. It has become one of the most popular pieces of machinery in America right now.
It's amazing.
I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook groups about it. People are exchanging recipes. People are just going insane with all the stuff you can do with the Instant Pot. So no one is disputing that the Instant Pot is an awesome item and you should have it in your kitchen.
Fine.
You and your wife both cook and you both will love the Instant Pot.
Yeah.
All we were saying is, that's not a Christmas present.
Listen, I thought it was a slam dunk.
We said, look, get it. and give it to her.
Yeah.
But aside from Christmas, don't make it a Christmas gift.
And the way you were framing it was, I'm going to use this so much because it's my turn to cook right now. Yeah. So you made it more about you.
Well,
and then
she
when
didn't
you
know
said
that
it was.
Until now, thank you.
Okay. But then when you said you were going to give it to her for Christmas, that's where we were like, come on, dude.
Yeah, well, it's a weird situation where in our relationship, you know, I'm not a guy who does jewelry. I'm not a guy who, I mean, I don't see myself walking into Victoria's Secret and say, hey, you know, give me some.
So you don't buy anything that a woman would enjoy.
I mean, I'm not that
can
guy.
I just say something?
I will, if I go, I will buy the weirdest and
can
it would not
something?
Work out good.
Maybe try that some.
I don't know. I don't know about that. So, you know, usually what I do is I'll make her a montage of like a video montage or something about her kids, you know, so I make her something.
Right.
Beautiful. And that's
exactly. But this time I was strapped. I was DJing nonstop, so I just didn't have time. And I really did think that this would be a slam dunk Christmas present.
That she would love it. And we had many conversations. We were like, look, even if she likes it, she's never going to love it.
Yeah.
It's just not a Christmas gift that inspires that kind of love.
No.
All right. Let's bring on Mrs. DJ Omar Khan, shall we?
Yeah.
Hey, Cassie.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Ali.
Hi, Cassie.
Hey, Omar.
Hey. Are you okay? Are you okay, Cass? My wife last night, she fell off the bed.
I'm getting all the food ready for the Instapot.
Oh, are you?
I'm sure you are.
Super excited about the Instapot.
Sure you are.
Using it.
Right. Yeah. Wait a second. Hold on. You fell off the bed last night?
You know what? I was asking Omar, what happened?
Yeah. In the middle of the night, I wake up and she's like standing
Omar,
over me.
Hey, Omar, let her talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, she doesn't know what happened.
But okay.
So yeah. In the middle of the night, I don't know what happened. All I hear is Omar like saying, oh my God, what's happening? And I feel him picking me up or moving me around.
What the hell goes on in your bedroom?
What?
You know,
what kind of Olympics?
We had some action going on. What, you know,
kind
maybe.
Crazy Olympics. Just roofying your wife? What's going on?
Yeah, apparently, I've been doing it wrong. Jeez.
Yeah, it was bananas.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. So I'm glad I'm glad you're okay.
My head hurt. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk about Christmas for a second. So Christmas morning, I'm sure Omar is so excited for you to open this package under the tree. And you do, and it turns out to be the Instant Pot. Can you walk us through that moment for us?
Well, it was a kind of a good thing. You know how you go on Amazon, and it shows you all the different things that you've been looking at and searching for?
Yeah, recent searches.
I actually kind of thought, well, what's going on here? He ordered an Instapot. Oh my God!
Like, okay, so hold on, Cassie. So you're saying you saw that in his search history or in his order history before Christmas?
I did.
Okay.
Hey.
So it gave me some time, at least, because when I did realize it was mine, at least I didn't have that face of like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Wait, what was your first thought? Your first thought was this was it for your mom?
You know, my sister's always raving about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we picked names, and I got her name. So I was thinking maybe he was looking for that because he actually picked my sister's name. So maybe, and he even made a joke, hey, let's get her two, you know, then she'll have two.
Right.
By the way, it would have been a perfectly appropriate gift for your sister or for your mom or anybody. Like anyone who's not your wife, the Instant Pot is a fantastic gift. But it doesn't say wife.
I don't know.
No. I mean, and it's like buying somebody a vacuum. It's awesome.
Yes. That's
a
coffee pot.
We told him that 100 times.
Words.
But an awesome vacuum. The best vacuum.
Oh, wow.
Why
Come
don't
on.
You learn?
Love the vacuum.
I do love the vacuum.
Like
what
you
is wrong?
I bought a Shark a couple years ago. Can't get enough.
Okay, but Omar, here's the thing. When it comes to gifts, you might want to consider what Cassie wants instead of what you want.
I will admit that it wasn't the best gift.
Did you love it, Cassie?
Well, I haven't used it yet.
Oh, what a surprise.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's a whole planning process with it, too.
Did you love it? I cut it down from 3-1 now. Just love.
I like it. I think it's going to be good.
Does it help that I bought you guys a cookbook?
She saw it last night.
Yes. I saw that cookbook.
I'm so sorry.
This is Cassie just trying to be nice right now. This is her being sweet.
Really.
This is just her being nice to Omar and nice to Allie.
So sorry.
All right.
You're encouraging this.
We are going to keep working on him. Listen, on this
she has,
end.
Obviously, she has brain damage for falling down last night, so she doesn't know what she's talking
she
about.
She has brain damage because she's your wife. Listen, Cassie, we're going to do our best on this end, like Bean said. We're going to try our best to steer Omar in the right direction. He doesn't take criticism well.
No. He gets on an idea and he just goes with it.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to people. Yeah. And well, he's all raving about the Instapot.
Thanks for jumping on and taking out time from your vacation to talk to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. Hope we see you soon. Okay. Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year. Bye.
Thank you, Cassie. Yep. She's so way too nice for you.
Yeah,
she really
way
is.
Way out of your league.
Way too nice.
I agree on that.
Okay. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I love this because you never have any idea what direction it's going to go in. For instance, texter number 99, John in Hacienda Heights, wanted to hear one of the all-time K-Rock classics, Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart, which I would not have been mad at.
That's a good song.
I mean, it's that's on the Mount Rushmore of K-Rock songs right there. Texter 101, Daniel from Las Vegas wants to hear Cotton Eye Joe by Rednecks, which is not in the Mount Rushmore of K-Rock songs. But neither of those are Texter 100. That is going to be our friend Kimberly, who joins us on the line from Van Nuys. Kimberly, Happy New Year. Welcome to the weekend. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
We appreciate you thinking of us this morning. What do you got going on? What's happening for you this weekend?
Well, nothing. Probably have to work.
Watching the Rams?
Huh?
You watching the Rams?
Oh, no. I'm not a football.
Get off my phone. How did you come up with the song you were going to request from us this morning?
I remember years ago I got a CD from you guys that had like various artists on it, and this was one of the songs, and I love it and haven't heard it forever.
I can't remember the last time I heard this song.
No, I can't either. We're going to give you the opportunity to introduce the song for us on K-Rock. All right, Kimberly?
Okay. It's Popular from Not a Surf.
The teenage guy, the popularity. I'm
I gotta tell you, I forgot how good that song was.
Listen to this. I always like to Wikipedia the song when it comes up every Friday, and I have no idea that this is the deal with Popular by Not a Surf. The whole song, except for the chorus, are parts made up from the 1964 teen advice book, Penny's Guide to Teenage Charm and Popularity, written by television actress Gloria Winters. What?
Whoa.
You see that and make a song out of it. And a good one, too.
A good one.
I love it. Thank you, Kimberly from Van Nuys, for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and thank you for texting in. This has been Keep It 100.
Keep It 100. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
One more look at what's happening. Here's Miss Allie McKay.
Hey, just a quick reminder. On sale today at noon. Tickets for both weekends for Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. That is the first weekend, April 13th. Second weekend, April 20th. Your headliners, Friday, The Weeknd, Saturday, Beyonce, Sunday, Eminem. Tickets on sale today at noon. We broke this down earlier in the show. If you missed it, it's pretty interesting to see how both Kevin and my mind completely changed upon hearing this song again. But Justin Timberlake's new single dropped last night at midnight, which I guess would be
today.
Today. Mm-hmm. It's called Filthy, and I listened to it on the way in and thought, wow, that is...
That's a miss.
That is something, Justin. That is not great.
That's barely a song, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was actually four songs in one.
I listened to it on the way in, and I thought, wow, Justin, that is not good.
At all. And then we did a segment where we listened to it and kind of broke it down, and I immediately liked it better upon the second listen. Bean, you've listened to it how many times?
I've only heard it the one time before the show and then when we played it on the radio, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it. Didn't automatically hate it, just wasn't sure, didn't click with me.
Right.
But the second time I heard it, I thought, oh, yeah,
And now I'm excited to hear some of it again.
Well, let's see. Baby, don't you mind if I do? Put your filthy hands all over me. No, this ain't clean version. And what you gonna do for that beast? When I leave, you can wait. Open.
You think there are people at the NFL right now going, all right, listen, Justin, let's talk about halftime.
Right, right.
What do you plan on doing?
At what point does he just yell, I want to F you like an animal?
Well, there is a little bit of that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a little Nine Inch Nails-ish in there as well.
I'll tell you what surprised me, and the internet usually is very measured and very thoughtful.
Sure.
A lot of people were just jumping to snap judgments on this song. Like,
no.
Like, first time they heard it, they were already flame-throwing
Next
Justin Timberlake.
You're going to tell me they piled on.
They really did.
The internet?
Crazy.
Yes.
I was shocked as well.
Yeah, one of those people said, first I thought J2's new song Filthy was trash. Upon second listen, I think it's garbage. Yeah, people weren't really feeling it right away, but this is something interesting. Same people not feeling Filthy weren't ready for Sexy Back either. Now it's in their top five, and that's true. Sexy Back, I was in from the beginning, but you, Kevin, said you hated it.
The first time I heard it, I was like, wow, this is not what I want. And then I turned around on it pretty quickly.
Right, it's your ringtone.
Yeah, right?
Nope.
No.
It is not.
It's not my ringtone.
In other news, we now know more about David Letterman's new 6-episode talk show on Netflix. It is called Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman, and it's going to debut on January 12th. It's a one-hour-long talk show.
I didn't know it was already debuting on January 12th.
I didn't either.
Huh.
I know. It's almost like this is breaking news.
Huh.
And even to further that breaking news, we now...
And now,
okay.
A breaking news bulletin.
Thank you, ma'am. We now know who the first guest is.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
That first guest... Former President Barack Obama.
Yay!
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah. It's going to be his first talk show appearance since leaving office.
Imagine him and Letterman.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
well, he was on the Letterman show a couple of times
yeah,
before.
I know.
They got along great.
Yeah. I know, but the Letterman show was such a short format. They would do 5 or 6 minutes. They would take a commercial, and that's all it was. This is how long is this show, an hour?
It's an hour.
Yeah,
but it's also going to have field segments. Which
Fantastic.
Is going to be amazing. Letterman doing like Man on the Street.
Love it.
I'm in. Absolutely. We also know some more of the guests for the first season. It's going to be once a month, essentially. So we've got Barack Obama for the first one, George Clooney, Malala, Jay-Z, Tina Fey, and Howard Stern.
Holy crap.
That's an okay lineup. You're doing all right there.
Wow.
Dave. Yeah, I'm excited.
He,
so
he just couldn't stay away, could he?
He couldn't.
Couldn't stop interviewing
he
people.
He did for a long time, though.
Yeah.
I mean, how long has he been gone? He's been gone for
3 years, something like that.
Oh,
2015.
I was thinking like 5, 6 years.
2015, yeah.
So just a couple months. All right.
Excellent. Your math is as good as mine. The beard, though. What?
Does the beard stay or go?
Does he trim it? Like, what's the sitch? How are we going to feel about
In
that?
In the trailer for the Netflix series, he's sporting the full-on beard.
Okay.
He did not make any kind of concession to be back in front of the camera again.
I like it.
Interesting.
I like it. I like
Stay
that.
Strong.
It's a ridiculously great beard.
Yeah. It's
the kind
manly.
Of beard he could be in men wore in the 1860s.
Because they didn't know how to shave. He could be in ZZ Top. Easy.
It's not quite ZZ Top
Easy.
Yet. He could be living in the woods plotting our demise. That's that kind of how I look at that beard. And in case you missed the news yesterday, Animaniacs coming back to your TVs on Hulu. They scored a 2-season straight-to-series commitment at the streaming service. So if you love Animaniacs, and who doesn't?
It's time for Animaniacs. And we're saving to the max.
Steven Spielberg returning as executive producer, but you've got a little bit of a wait. They're not coming back until 2020, but guess what? You can catch up on the complete library of all 99 episodes of the original series because Hulu now has the rights to that, as well as Pinky and the Brain, and the Tiny Toon Adventures Collection.
Wow.
Right.
I know we have a policy of never asking Beer Mug a question, making him talk in the air, but I'm fascinated to know, because you're such a big Animaniacs fan. What's the draw for you on that show? Why do you like it so much, Mugs?
I think when I was a preteen when it first hit the scene, and there's adult humor in it, and it was just really funny and quick and witty. I loved it. And Pinky and the Brain and Tiny Toons.
I like Pinky and the Brain the best.
So this is big news for you. Hulu's your new favorite channel.
Yeah.
Bean, that worked out.
Yeah, that was short, concise.
You went against our rule, and it worked out.
Yeah, it had a beginning, lucky. A middle, and an end.
You got way lucky.
Every once in a while, you go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
All right.
All
right, take it easy.
Speaking of a long wait, HBO confirmed yesterday that the series Game of Thrones will not be back until 2019. So sit tight for Kevin's next review.
That's a long wait.
Yeah, what has happened so far, Kevin? Because I am a little lost.
Yeah, catch us up on the 5 seasons.
Well, there was the Red Wedding and where everyone died.
You don't even know about that. You just heard about it.
And then they recast the whole show because everyone died.
No, they did not.
And then I don't have time to catch you up on it.
It's too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Too much goodness.
Yeah, too much goodness. This is horrible news. Who's stealing money from Stan Lee? Who is taking, and not just money, we're talking money. So there was a recent check forgery for $300,000.
Wow.
So his team rolled out a full audit. They're like, what the heck is going on? In which they caught yesterday, it got more bizarre. Someone recently plunked down $850,000 of his money for a condo in West Hollywood. So had they not done that audit, they would have found that much later.
Wow.
So someone is stealing from Stan Lee, which is not okay.
No.
It's not okay to steal, period.
Right, but Stan
but
Lee.
But Stan Lee, how dare you? Right?
Wow, that's crazy.
So that person gets a death penalty, right?
Well, I'm not
That's how it works.
It should. I'm not
With Stan Lee,
it does.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's the Stan Lee exception.
Yeah, but cops are continuing to investigate, so we will find out about that. Coming up. And
somebody was writing checks from my checkbook, and what they did was, this is when we had the charity at our house, and what they did was they would get my checkbook and they would keep the top five, they would leave those untouched,
okay,
and they would go deeper in the checkbook,
so you wouldn't notice
out.
Until you got to that.
Yes.
You just told us how to do check forgery. Thank you, Kevin. Enjoy that, all of you guys out there.
That's why we had to move the charity out of our house.
Oh, no, that is not good. Not good at all. Well, if you love Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, which we all do, and you also love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Which we do.
You'll be happy to know that Sterling is going to be playing a murder suspect.
Oh, fantastic.
On Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he'll be interrogated by Andy Samberg's character Jake Peralta. So excited to see that. Those are two behemoths of acting great right there.
Agreed.
Totally agree.
No one says it that way, but all right.
Listen, people do.
Right.
Let's talk about some birthdays today. Actress January Jones, singer Marilyn Manson, Bradley Cooper. Whenever I see this name, I just think of an anchor I worked with that said, DJ Deadmau5. And I thought, wow, you are old. Actress Diane Keaton and actor Robert Duvall. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a Strikers commercial free-for-all. Let's all request at 5 p.m. today on the world-famous K-Rock for your drive home. See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That needle was the size of my wiener.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Oh, this is going to be such
Pass
a hoot.
Pass it over to me.
That's a mother effort.
So wrong.
Just pass it around.
They always made me have to go poop.
And the bogart that joined my friend.
You're a murderer, Kevin.
Well, just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
All right. I think we're good here. I think that's enough.
What?
That's
what are
enough.
You talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, time to go. It's enough.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot, guys.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
Boom. Bada-bing, bada-boom. It's easy peasy. You know what I mean? Forget about it. Everybody knows.
All right, guys. Let's end strong. What do you say? Let's power on out of here.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Signing off for InfoWars.com, I'm Alex Jones. If you're watching this transmission, you know it. You are the resistance.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, KROQ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.